Welcome to the Sherry Group Podcast. Thank you for listening. Enjoy.
Yes, welcome to the Sherry Group Podcast. My name is Drew Demery, and I am joined here by my co-host, David Sherry. Dave, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Drew. Had a nice weekend. I'm really excited with our guest today, good friend and great guy, and he's actually here with me. So other than everybody on the computer, we're sharing space with our guest today, and that's kind of a fun change for me.
Yeah, that's a first for us. We have been doing Zoom calls to record all these podcast episodes because there's been a pandemic. We haven't been able to like sit around the campfire yet and do these all together. Hopefully we can soon. Yes, as Dave mentioned, Sean Gunderson is our guest today. He is a former Nebraska camp director and now current Iowa camp director. How do you like that? Sean, welcome to the podcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, Drew and Dave. Thanks for having me. It's super great to be on your podcast today. Hope I can contribute a little bit to what we're trying to do. A little bit about me. I am a husband and a dad. I'm really excited. My son and daughter get to live on camp for the first time. And my wife likes it too. So that's a positive. So we've been involved in camping for a long time. Started out in 2010 in New Hampshire, actually. And that kind of set me on course to become a full-time camp director. Over the years working for the Campfire organization and Nebraska 4-H, and then most recently the YMCA.
Awesome. Yeah, and today we're going to dive into a little bit about your time with the Nebraska 4-H camps because it was a unique partnership in that the DNR was involved, you had a foundation, there were a lot of moving parts to your site and facilities. I'm so excited to dive into that a little bit. Could you tell us just a general overview of how that camp operated, who owned it, who cared for things? Tell us a little bit about that partnership.
Our partnership was pretty unique, like you said. There were three partners in total. There was a program partner, which 4-H is actually run through the Land Grant University. So in the state of Nebraska, that is the University of Nebraska at Lincoln. There was a 4-H foundation partner who owned all the buildings that were on the ground. And then our state DNR, which is the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission, actually owned the property that all those buildings were set on.
Interesting. That is a lot to consider when most camps own everything, right? Their buildings, their land, and their programs. So tell us a little bit about how that all worked out for you. You know, kind of on a general sense, how were you able to make camp happen then year after year? If there were all these partners, was there a lot of bureaucracy involved? What did that look like?
Well, one thing, working with government agencies, there's always some level of bureaucracy and red tape that you have to cut through. But when it became down to delivering quality programming, all of that was through our programming partners, so my staff and myself, to make that happen. So the day-to-day operations of camp were handled through that programming aspect. The majority of like facility upgrades and upkeep, big things were handled through the 4-H Foundation. Then we really, the Game and Parks Commission was a partner that if there, we needed to make any changes to the physical property of the land, they would get involved, but they were pretty silent otherwise.
Yeah, I'm excited to dive into that process a little bit more as we go on, because I bet you've got some good tips and advice for other camps that might rent a site or other 4-H camps that are in similar situations. I've got a feeling that you know that process well, but I'm going to pitch it to Dave. Dave, what kind of questions do you have here to get us kicked off with Sean?
I'm really curious just about the decision-making process. So if you wanted to do an update on a building that would change the footprint, was that something that you had to go through the DNR to do? Or if it was an existing building, it was something, just who made decisions and where do those decisions lie typically? Or what were the boundaries?
So if there was some big physical plant thing, that would all be handled, well, starting with the foundation, they're kind of the middleman between the property owners and then us, the program. The relationship between the programming side of the university and the 4-H Foundation really, really close, tight-knit. They were essentially a part of us. We were a part of them. And so we worked together as an arm to do any of those things that we needed to do physically to the location.
How long was the lease on the property for? I would think that before investing buildings that you own on property that you don't, that you would want to have a pretty established long-term lease.
Yeah, so the original lease was signed in like 1965 for one of the properties. It was a 100-year lease, and then each partner could review that every so often. I think it was every 10 years or so to see if it was still working. I've also worked with the Nebraska Forest Service at the other camp in Halsey, similar situation. And, you know, we just signed a lease for 100 years and then updated every few years to say, hey, we're still liking this agreement.
I would imagine leasing property or a full camp is not that uncommon. For other camp directors who are reviewing a lease, looking at a lease, I would imagine that you had some things that you wish you could have avoided and other things that you thought were great. What would be some advice that you would have for someone who's renewing a lease?
I think my biggest advice for somebody that would be renewing a lease is to really lay out what your communication will look like with your partners. I think that's super important. And what the parameters of your relationship is, who's responsible for what, and be really clear on that. So in my experience, some of the times there were some confusion on who was responsible for whatever issue that would come up. And then we'd have to come together to figure that out. But I think my biggest tip would make sure that all of that stuff is laid out beforehand and have a really good plan for communication.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that plan for communication. What does that look like to you?
I think that the way that a communication plan would look is just making sure that all the partners are in the room and come together and find out what other people's expectations of what you're supposed to be doing for them. And then come together, bring your expectations of what you're supposed to be doing and meet somewhere in the middle. And do that for each area of partnership that you're looking for. That way there's a clear understanding of who is responsible for what and how everybody can have a beneficial relationship.
I think that word relationship is key. I can't imagine it would be prosperous or even comfortable to be working with an organization that you didn't have a good relationship with. So what kind of things would you do to make sure that relationship stayed strong, stayed positive?
Yeah.
Was there regular work that went into that?
Yeah, there was definitely regular work to keep our program partners involved in what we're doing. Like I said, most of the programming aspects were all handled through the university partner. So it's really just reaching out to them and making them feel that they're included into what we're doing as a program partner, as somebody that is vital to the overall camper experience that we're trying to portray at camp. Help them see the value of having us as a great partner and working towards those goals together through sharing of, you know, things like sharing our social media posts, being involved in some of our fundraising efforts, vice versa, us helping them when they need the platform to amplify that whatever they're doing.
Cool. Let's take a quick break here, guys. We're about halfway through. We would love to hear from our sponsor, the Sherry Group, and then we'll dive back into the conversation here with Sean Gunderson.
The Sherry Group, LLC, is a proud supporter of summer camps and nonprofits nationwide, specializing in operations, fundraising, and executive coaching. Contact the Sherry Group today at www.thesherrygroupllc.com. Thank you.
All righty, we are back here with the Sherry Group podcast. I am Drew Demery with my co-host David Sherry, and our guest today is Sean Gunderson, telling us a little bit about the relationships and the partnerships that were necessary in order to have a great camp at a site that his program did not own. They leased it, and they also worked with a foundation to fundraise for it. And they were just talking about relationships for amplifying causes, social media, and programs and whatnot. So Sean, I want to see if you can walk us through a project and some of the challenges that might come along with that and how you would navigate those challenges. So I've got a little thought experiment here. Let's say that at your camp, you wanted to add a zip line It's just an awesome idea for a summer camp. It's just an idea, though. How would you make that work within this partnership? What kind of advice might you give along the way to somebody who's in a similar situation?
Yeah, step one, the way that we operated our summer camp was really program driven. When we made changes to camp, it was because we were trying to make the program better. So this, an idea like a zip line would come from a programming type committee on an advisory board that we'd have. So it would start right there with our advisory board, making sure that we're all on the same page. We can all speak the same language. We can all get behind what this is doing. That's through the university partnership. The second step of that would be to reach out to the foundation partnership and tell them our idea and try to get some of those stakeholders on board with us to help amplify what we're doing in the foundation board, because we both had separate boards. Working with them, they would, at that point, the foundation would really be the people that would help fundraise the majority of the cost. Our role is to help support them in helping us make the program a reality. Once we got the support, we would reach out to our land partners and let them know that, hey, we had this really great idea. This is what we wanted to do. And then, of course, because it's a government agency, there's a lot of red tape. So permits, additional partners that we might need to reach out to. For example, we actually did try to build a zip line, and we had through the U.S. Forest Service, and there was a bunch of different permits that we needed to have. And we're like in a geographical ecological area that they didn't want us to build a zip line through the sand hills of Nebraska. So from there, that partnership, we kind of changed course and reevaluated what we wanted to do because we were stopped by our land partner.
So it sounded like you really needed to be organized. Any tips for camps that would need to be that organized? How did you manage that? Did you build schedules? Did you find resources online? How did you stay organized throughout that process?
Yeah, I used an online project management tool to help organize us. It's monday.com. I don't know. This is not sponsored by Monday, but
not yet.
I really find value in what they do to help organize everybody, keep everybody on track.
So there had to be some frustrations that went with trying to balance three different groups in making facility or property decisions. I would just think that would be natural, right? Because mm-hmm. there's some additional challenges there. How would you manage those? I mean, you get you have a challenge in front of you. I'm sure at times it could be frustrating. I think somebody could get lost in that. How do you keep it positive? How do you keep the relationships positive? How do you not let that become a negative thing?
Yes, I would agree that there are times that not everybody saw eye to eye. And I think that it comes down to those relationships and building positive relationships with each other, working relationships that you can disagree, but you're also being very focused on what your mission is to have this great camper experience, because everybody wants the same thing. Everybody wants everybody to be successful, because we outlined it in our MOU that we're going to be doing this, and this is the reason why we're doing it. So going back to that, saying, hey, we're here to make this better for everyone, and we just got to figure out what ways can we support each other through whatever project that you're working on.
I love that it comes back to relationships. It seems like most of our podcast series, most of our interviews, at some point, I'll come back to relationships. And sounds like investing in those relationships before it gets frustrating so that you can work through it, just like you would any partnership, any relationship.
Yeah, exactly. It's so important to be able to have those relationships early and create those relationships in a way that you really rely on each other. And as long as you're focused on the same things, I think that it's, in my experience, been good for our relationships and our partnerships.
Yeah, so keeping the focus on kids' opportunities, kids' experiences, that's great.
Yeah, you know, Dave, I think that in every single one of our podcasts, this idea of relationships, and, you know, I think that we can sometimes have kind of a closed-minded view of relationships, and that we want children to develop relationships, want our summer staff to develop relationships. But in every single one of our podcast episodes so far, We've needed to build relationships with our camp supporters, our camp vendors, our camp partners, whatever you want to call them. They help us provide a great experience for kids, whether it's tree trimming or site and facilities or the architect that you're working with. You need to have a good relationship there. So camp isn't just for kids when it comes to relationships. It also relies on a lot on adult relationships. Sean, aside from relationships, you also mentioned having clear expectations, like in your contract, having good communication, being organized. As we wrap up here, any other advice that you might be able to give somebody in a similar situation, something that maybe got you through a challenging time or through a difficult project or anything like that, that you might be able to toss out to our listeners?
I think that I was very fortunate working for the University of Nebraska because of our large support system. And then I obviously realized that camps sometimes don't have that large internal support system. But I think that it's super important to have people that you can rely on to talk through these things, make sure that you're focused on the right things at the right time, and give an opportunity for you to shine through the work that you're doing, because it's vitally important for the mission and of serving more kids and being a part of the camp community.
Wonderful. You know, I'm going to pitch it back to Dave here. Dave, any questions or insights, thoughts that we have while we have Sean still with us?
Yeah, I keep circling around this idea of building relationships, keeping the three partners in this working together. And it's interesting to me as we go out and talk to other camps and clients, how people are so busy that a lot of times that very intentional relationship building time is set aside. Mm. But especially in this series, it appears to me that, you know, that's really a necessary part of what our weekly or monthly schedules need to include. We've got to set aside time to invest in the people that we're working with, whether it be vendors that we're using or partners that we're using or donors and families, but setting aside time to do that. And I heard that here from Sean as well, that, you know, we're able to avoid or work through those frustrations that could come with sharing property by having that relationship built ahead of time. I think that's a good takeaway for a lot of folks is, are you scheduling time to go out and invest in the people that are important to you and to your camp? I appreciate you, Sean. Thanks for investing in us today and in our listeners and sharing your story. And I sure hope that some people are able to listen to this and take some of Sean's advice and put it to use.
Yeah, sounds good. Sean, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been great.
Awesome. Hopefully we can get you on a future episode as well. It's nice having a local camping professional here in Iowa that's willing to jump on and offer some insight. So thanks again, Sean. Thanks, Dave, for joining me once again. My name is Drew Demery. This has been the Sherry Group Podcast. We will see you next time.
This has been the Sherry Group Podcast. Thank you for listening and have a great day.